The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt, live, good morning to you. It is snowing in only a couple parts of the country, Wisconsin and Minnesota. What else do you expect? Idaho, it's raining a little bit in South North Carolina and Virginia, but other than that, it's a clear, somewhat crisp day across the United States on this Wednesday. The lead story of the morning in the United States comes out of Chicago, where teachers unions have managed to strike, and so Chicago's public schools canceled classes today. They voted overwhelmingly to return to remote learning, and they defied the city's orders. They should all be fired. Now, I realize that sounds draconian, but when the inmates are running the asylum, you've got to take steps to cure the situation, and they should all be fired. Governor Pritzker should fire them, should put out a call nationally for teachers. Just disenfranchise the union, ban it. It's illegal what they've done. They have screwed hundreds of thousands of parents and students because they don't want to go to work. And it's that simple, and it's that brutal a fact. You know, if they get rid of the filibuster, I don't think that's going to happen. But the upside of it will be that when the United States elects a Republican president, a Senate, and the House of Representatives, which could be as soon as 2024, and it looks like this given Joe Biden's collapse in the polls, we can ban at the federal level and decertify every teachers union. Absolutely. We can do a whole bunch. We can sever their pension benefits. We can pass all sorts of laws. It'll be great. So I'm not, I have mixed emotions about the filibuster, because getting rid of these draconian, self-interested parasites. And I know there are fine teachers out there. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your unions. They're parasites, and they are not doing their job. There are plenty. It's been a year to get vaccinated to protect themselves, a year to get a booster. And these kids, there's a David Leonard column, which I'll come to later. That's the number one story. Should second largest city in the United States doesn't have school because their union doesn't want to have school. Not because of the virus. You can cope with the virus. $130 billion spent in the United States on school relief. They just want more money. They want more time off. They want something. They don't want to work. They want to stay home and do what I'm doing right now, which is talking to you from a studio, which is great for people who are waking up and driving to work who don't really have to pay attention. I could not teach anything in this mode. You could not learn anything except the top line. That's what I do. I do top line news. I do breaking news, and that's fine. Students don't need that. They need to learn how to do algebra, and they need to be at the desk in the front of the room, and they need the teacher to check their work. And thus it has been since the time of Socrates. Teachers have to be close to their students. The United States and other countries, according to the Washington Post, facing a twindemic, which is a new word meant to convey that we're in flu season, which is always bad, but never a source of closing schools. And we're in a COVID epidemic, which is also bad, but should not be a reason to close schools. It should be a reason to stay home if you're sick, and use your sick leave if you're a sick teacher, and don't send your kid to school if they have a temperature. And parents can deal with that. They've been dealing with that for millennia. They can't deal with learning on Tuesday night that there aren't going to be classes on Wednesday. The latest surge of coronavirus cases, according to the Washington Post, should peak as soon as this month, if the South African model is of any help. I-95 is reopened in Virginia after the winter storm. I think we all know Senator Tim Kaine spent 27 hours in his car. Because he's a United States senator, we are focused on what happened. But imagine having four kids in a station wagon. The Fetching Mrs. Hugh was up late last night reading horror stories of parents with children. One ambulance driver was kind enough to let four freezing kids, they were turning on and off their cars, sleep in an ambulance on gurneys. That'll be a memorable experience. How you cannot get organized. This is Ralph Northam's Virginia Department of Transportation yesterday. The funniest thing about Twitter were that the morons on Twitter were blaming Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin for the Virginia Department of Transportation's ineptitude in failing to plan and execute any kind of a close the highway, keep people off of it order, which is what they should have done. Just close the highway, keep people off of it until it's plowed. Ohio Turnpike's been doing that for years. So Glenn Youngkin just can't get there soon enough. And the National Review's Dominic Pino wrote a story late last night, why I-95 in Virginia is jammed. And it comes down to the Virginia Department of Transportation's lack of preparation, inability to execute, and general ineptitude. And this has been 8 years of Democratic management, so what did you expect? The Commonwealth used to work when Governor George Allen was there. And now Governor Glenn Youngkin's going to have to bring in an entire new group of managers, infuse some private sector know-how and knowledge. I mean, in an era of weather forecasting, if it says 7 inches, then you plan on 14. That's what you do. If your parameters are going to be safe, it's always easier to say, oops, we missed. And that's what happens with hurricane season. People prepare, then it misses, and that's good. U.S. global reports record an over 1 million daily cases of COVID around the world. The CDC updated COVID-19 isolation guidance, which doesn't matter because nobody listens to the CDC anymore. Doesn't matter. You know, they've changed their mind so many different times. Jab, no jab. Johnson & Johnson, pause. Christmas is going to be canceled 10 days, 5 days. Nobody knows what it means. But they changed their guidance. If you happen to work at the CDC and you may get a test later in the day, they have utterly crushed their own credibility, as has Joe Biden. Tony Fauci should quit. And Joe Biden should appoint someone who actually is new to the field, a new face. Someone should pay attention to them. Maybe if they're credible and they appear to have a grasp of the situation, like Rochelle Walensky and Dr. Fauci. In Omicron hotspots, hospitals fill up, but ICUs might not, the New York Times reports. This is good news. Omicron is just not as deadly. It's far more virulent, far more contagious, but it's not as deadly. And that's good. The bad news is, of course, lots of people who work at hospitals have COVID, so there are some staffing shortages. It's sort of like the schools. Do you think the hospital's closed? Do you think the hospital's closed? Do you know that the nurses are making less than the teachers and they're showing up? Do you know that the bedpan assistants are making less than the staff assistants and teachers and they're showing up? What's the difference? Unions, teachers union. Israeli study reports a five-fold jump in antibodies with the fourth Pfizer shot. I cannot wait to get my fourth Pfizer shot. Nobody has to tell me to get it. Nobody should tell me to get it. I'm just going to get it as soon as it's available. Of course, the CDC has not approved it. The FDA has not approved it. But Israel is approving it, and they're pushing it out as quickly as possible because the second booster does such a dramatic increase in your protection against the virus. Internationally, in France, Emmanuel Macron said he wants to make daily life more inconvenient for unvaccinated people. Okay, that's kind of mild totalitarianism. In Australia, Scott Morrison announced, amid growing anger, that certain groups would be able to receive free rapid tests, but dismiss calls to distribute them to everyone, because Scott Morrison has a brain. Not everybody needs a COVID test. If you're not going out and about, or you're fully vaccinated with a booster, and you're a regular hermit like me, then you don't need this. India's experts are bracing for a new wave of the infection, as 58,000 cases were reported Wednesday. That's going to grow exponentially. German state governors are meeting today, and 90 of England's nursing homes have issued a red alert, meaning that they have critical staff shortages. Again, they're not throwing the nursing patients out into the street, unlike the Chicago Teachers Union, the heartless Chicago Teachers Union, which should be, they should all be fired. Boris Johnson says it's likely we're going to have to have a booster to travel abroad. He's just reflecting what's going to happen abroad. When I come back from break, I'll continue. There's so much news this morning that it's going to take a couple of segments to do the rundown and the market rundown and the recap. But I do want to play for you Joe Manchin. Well, it's too long to play. Joe Manchin threw cold water on everything the Democrats want to do yesterday. Good for Joe Manchin. He's on the record. He's not going to vote to change the filibuster. He's not going to vote for Build Back Better. I don't think he's a liar. People in Wheeling, West Virginia, listening to me, know that Joe Manchin is not a liar. You can line up if you want. We'll open the phones, 1-800-520-1234. My show in Chicago is not on because we have a local morning show there. But anyone who has an opinion on the Chicago Teachers Unions nationally, give me a call, 1-800-520-1234. Disband them, and if the filibuster goes, first thing the Republicans do, make teachers' unions illegal. Stay tuned. One of these days, how can you be? Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, The Rundown. Let me finish it. David Leonard is a lefty at the New York Times, but he wrote a column yesterday that David Axelrod, supreme lefty and good guy at the University of Chicago, Barack Obama's right arm, his Karl Rove, Axelrod pointed to Leonard and said, read Leonard, Chicago teachers. And it begins this way. American children are starting 2022 in a crisis. I've long been aware that the pandemic was upending children's lives, but until I spent time pulling together data and reading reports, I did not understand just how alarming the situation had become. Today's newsletter offers an overview of the crisis. Children fell far behind in school during the first year of the pandemic and have not caught up. Many children and teenagers are experiencing many mental health problems. Suicide attempts have risen. Gun violence against children has increased. Many schools have still not returned to normal, worsening learning loss and social isolation. Behavioral problems have increased. The Omicron variant is now scrambling children's lives again. He goes on to exhort teachers to go back to work. Chicago teachers don't care. Chicago teachers went on strike. Chicago teachers should be fired. International news. Wall Street Journal. Russia's military buildup near the Ukrainian border is an open secret. Satellite images, social media posts, and flight tracking data allow private analysts to track details of governments that were once classified. And the buildup continues. It's going to be an invasion. The United States should be blinking out the money of the oligarchs around Putin right now. By that, I mean disintermediating the money from the accounts. We can do it. It's a shot across their bow. It would be many shots across their bow. We ought to be taking some of Putin's money, all of a couple of his friends' money, creating some enemies in the Kremlin, because if he invades a country again, it will be the third time, the second in Ukraine, the first in Georgia. George W. Bush stopped him the first time with a hard look at the Olympic Games in Beijing in 2008. Obama got rolled, and Putin thinks he can roll Biden. Putin did not try this with Trump. Meanwhile, from China come stories of anguish in Xi'an. On the first day of 2022, outside Xi'an Jiaxin Hospital in the middle of China's worst coronavirus outbreak since Wuhan, a woman 8 months pregnant miscarried after being refused care until she had tested negative for the virus. This is a large accumulation of horror stories from the totalitarian China that is Xi China. They have locked down an entire city. People are without food and water and medical care. And what Xi, President Xi, is concerned about, General Secretary of the Communist Party Xi, is bad press because the genocide games are about to get underway. So he doesn't want to have a pandemic raging in China. So he's locked down a city and letting them suffer, just like he's locked down the Uyghurs and the Tibetans. And every sponsor of the genocide games, every single one, is complicit with the suffering in Hong Kong, in Tibet, in Xi'an now, and in Zhejiang province. I'll talk with Mike Gallagher about that later. 13 million people stranded, according to the Wall Street Journal. China's COVID-19 count remains low in comparison with other countries, hovering around 100 a day. We don't believe that, of course. In the past few days, 90% of the cases have been in Xi'an, the city of terracotta warrior fame in China's northwest, which has 1,758 total cases as of December 9. We don't believe any of these numbers, by the way. China is lying. No one is allowed to enter or leave Xi'an. Most of the city's 13 million residents can leave their homes only for COVID-19 testing. Few vehicles are allowed in the streets except those transporting essential workers and supplies, and many supermarkets and hospitals are closed. The online complaints of tens of thousands of stranded residents show how local officials must weigh the cost of extreme restrictions. They're not weighing the cost. They don't care. It's China. It's a totalitarian nightmare. No one should sponsor a single commercial on these games. Zero. China cuts back on traditional lending concerns as the economy concerns mount. Chinese banks rushed to meet their annual state-imposed lending quotas last month by buying up low-risk financial instruments rather than issuing loans. They're using tricks. They want to keep their money. They are afraid of a run on banks. That is what the bottom line is in China. It's a fundamentally unstable regime now. And it's becoming clear that all this Belt and Road Initiative money that went into Africa and India and everywhere else, it's left the development industry inside of China essentially as hollow as it was in the United States in 2007. And a crash is coming in China. A crash is coming. Protesters stormed the mayor's office in Kazakhstan. There are demonstrations all over the oil-rich former Soviet Republic as the dictator there faces a summing up of what's going to happen. The U.S. has arrested one of the suspects in the slaying of the Haitian president a few weeks back. 4.5 million Americans quit their jobs in November. Can you believe that? 4.5 million Americans said, see about it. Dwayne, are you there? Dwayne, are you there? Dwayne? Hello, Dwayne, are you there? See, I think Dwayne might be 4.5 million in one. Not sure.
Always committed to the bit.
There you go. There he is.
He's always there. Committed to the bit.
All right, good. Dwayne is there. Whew. 4.5 million people. Adam, you there? Always. Okay, is Ben around?
They don't,
Understand the timing. They don't understand the bit.
Yeah. They didn't get it at all, did they? But they're good engineers and producers. Toyota overtakes General Motors as the best-selling automaker in the United States, which, welcome to the Biden administration. The Biden face highly charged legal fight with migrants whose children were taken away under Trump. They were going to give these illegal entrants into the United States money because their children were separated from them. I did not approve of that policy. I actually had quite an argument with then Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who's a friend of mine, on the air about that, because I thought it was a stupid, dumb, counterproductive policy that was inhumane and cruel. It does not give an illegal entrant a right to sue the United States. All of these, it's not, according to the headline, it's not highly charged. What, 95% of Americans say, no, we're not giving you any money. That's crazy. Opinion by Mark Thiessen in the Washington Post this morning. Democrats haven't learned from Harry Reid's mistake. Mark notes that Reid's biggest legacy is a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Ben Smith, who's been a guest a couple of times on this show, he started BuzzFeed, cashed out of that. I think he was at Politico originally, cashed out of that, went to BuzzFeed, made a fortune, went over to the New York Times as their media critic, writes a good column, and now he's leaving along with a Bloomberg media mogul, Justin Smith, to start a new organization called Something or Other Media. They want to cash out a third time. Ben Smith has got this down. Tumped a bunch of people, use a couple of words like metaverse, and they'll give you millions of dollars. Let me check the markets, brought to you by Birch Gold. Remember, if you're buying gold, and a lot of you are buying gold for the first time and you're getting scalped because you're not going to Birch Gold. Two ways to buy gold the first time. Only buy Krugerrands, American Eagles, or Canadian Maple Leafs. Those are 1 ounces. You can check and see what 1 ounce of gold sells for this morning. It's up to $18.20, $1,820 an ounce. So they'll send you the coins, and they'll put a little surcharge on it. And you can talk to them about that at hughgold.com or text them your name. My name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 989898. And they'll send you a free information kit on buying gold from them. And the second way to get gold, which is use existing retirement assets in a 401k, or an IRA, and roll it over into a Birch Gold administered physical gold. Now, the physical gold you buy should be bullion, not numismatics. Coin collecting is not for you. If you don't know anything about gold, you'll get scalped. And a lot of companies try and scalp. Oh, you ought to buy this $20 gold piece from 1912. It's going to go up a lot. No, do not do that. Buy ounces of gold and put them into a Birch Gold depository, which they have to maintain if you want to keep your IRS status going. They'll explain it all to you. They're the best at this. Yesterday, the Dow went up 214 points, and the NASDAQ went down 230, as Amazon took a beating of $50 and all the tech stocks fell. It's going to be hard to figure out. I still think the big news is going to be tech in 2022. And Walmart, Costco, Amazon, Target, anyone who sells you things, because shopping is just going to go down as Omicron sweeps through the United States. And it will give year-over-year Q1 results quite a nice comparison, and people will be bubbly again. But I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I want you to go and do your own research. But if you're buying gold, use HughGold.com or text Birch Gold, my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 989898. Let's go back to Joe Manchin in the hallway talking about Build Back Better, cut number 11.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see what their desires are and what their priorities are right now. They feel very strongly about that, and I respect that. I just had a different of opinion, and we don't have, to do some of the things that's been proposed takes more of a majority than what we have. We have no majority. We're 50-50 with one being the vice president making the deciding vote. And I think we have to take that in consideration. We have, our caucus is pretty, it goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I'm sure they understand that.
Yeah, that's a long way of saying what he said rather compactly here. Cut number 12.
There's been no conversations after I made my statement. I think it's basically, I was very clear. I feel as strongly today as I did then that the unknown with the COVID, here we are. We can't even go out. I've got a 95, M95. I see all of you do. And so there's different concerns that we have right now that we haven't had for a while. So that's a concern. Inflation's still a concern. It's still over 6%. And the geopolitical unrest that we have, and I think the president's been doing a yeoman's job trying to talk to Putin and calm things down to let him know where we are. So these are all challenges, guys, and this is all expensive challenges. So that's where Jake on that. There's been no conversation.
Senator, on BBB, on the child tax credit, are you a hard no on ensuring that supporting the
child tax credit is still there, as I'm understanding, basically?
Yeah. Are you a hard no on ensuring that families with no income tax obligations get the expanded credit? Are you a hard no on that, Senator Manchin?
I've been basically very clear on that. I think there should be a work requirement, and that means you file a 1099. So a 1099, if you're going to call it a credit, you have to see if you have a liability or not. The only way the IRS would know that is you file 1099. So I've been very direct on that.
He's been very direct on a lot of things, including the fact that it ain't working. It ain't happening. Welcome back, America. Yinzer Report time with Selena Zito, columnist of the world via the New York Post, the Washington Examiner, the Wall Street Journal, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and anywhere that Ben Roethlisberger fans congregate, Selena Zito is there. Good morning, Selena. Happy New Year.
Good morning, you. Happy New Year to you as well.
I want to ask you the bottom line question. I thought your new Washington Examiner column, Philly's crime wave could affect the midterm election results in Pennsylvania, is superb. I was unaware of the carnage there. I was unaware that the mayor had lashed out at the woke DA, who's a Soros DA. But I want to know what you think this is going to do to Josh Shapiro, because I thought he was a very talented elected official for the Democrats. I thought he could have been a vice presidential candidate. If he had, we'd be a lot better off if he was second in line to the throne as opposed to Kamala Harris. But man, these stats in the city of brotherly love, it's not very brotherly there these days.
No, it's not. I mean, it's 559 people, more than double than the homicide rate in just 7 years ago in 2014. And the violent crime is, I mean, just people that have been injured or by gunfire is over 2,200.
Think about it. That's 10 murders a week. It's an astonishing number of murders. I mean, Philly's a big place, but I've driven around 10 murders a week.
Yeah. And, for the most part, it has been middle class and poor black neighborhoods and poor people that have been most impacted. And these stories just make no news at all. Just absolutely no news. And then now it's gotten into the sort of well-heeled neighborhood of Center City. You had a sitting U.S. Congresswoman from Philly held up at gunpoint and carjacked 2 weeks ago.
Right. Right.
So, you know,
what is going to be the political fallout? Obviously, their DA got reelected before this crime wave crested, but their mayor is beating up to him, as you detail. What about Josh Shapiro and the state legislatures, et cetera? People do not, they notice crime. Doesn't matter if the media notices, people notice it.
Absolutely. People do notice crime. And it's not just the people that, you know, that live there. I mean, this impacts tourism. People don't want to go there.
No way am I. And I love the Union League, but I ain't going back there with 10 murders a week.
No. Or carjackings or gunpoint. I mean, everything. It's just there's just a collapse in a sense of security and stability. You know, one of the most important things that our government is supposed to do for us, it is one of the things with the last vestiges of the things that we have not lost or up until this point lost trust in, is the ability to keep us safe. And that has collapsed as well. If you look at the latest ABC poll on Biden, where, by the way, he made his announcement in Philly. He had his headquarters for his campaign in Philly, you know, so it's not as though he's a stranger to this town, is at, you know, 32%, something like that, 36%, 36%. And it's even worse among independent voters.
Yep.
So these, you know, it's all things in politics. These sentiments travel downward.
Has the Attorney General done anything about the crime wave? Is he, oh, my camera's kind of going crazy here. Is the Attorney General doing anything?
There's been, he has, you know, he's taken, it's sort of fascinating to me because you and I share the same sentiments of Josh Shapiro. However, he has taken this interesting tact in his run for governor in that he has been running really left. If you take a look at his Twitter feed, it's just, you know, woke central, which is completely opposite of who his persona is. And also completely unnecessary.
Josh Shapiro is a center left, old school Democrat with union cred and support for Israel going for him. What's he done on his Twitter feed? I mean, has he hired woke staffers to do his Twitter feed?
I suspect, because sometimes I look at his Twitter feed and just like, wait, what? That does not sound like Josh. And he is a problem. The interesting thing is he doesn't need to run left.
No, I mean, all he has to do is say, I'm taking over from Krasner, the nutty PA, Philadelphia prosecutor, and I'm going to send strike force there and we'll find state laws to arrest people on. Use the highway. But I mean, that's all he has to do.
Yeah. I mean, and the black community is completely up in arms over these murders. Michael Nutter, the one who took on the former mayor of Philadelphia, who took on Krasner, is black. And it's just an unforced error. I mean, I think this impacts all of the races in 2022.
I hope you're right. Time to get Pennsylvania back into the right hands and maybe impeach a few Supreme Court justices there who threw the election of 2020 into chaos. Thank you, Selena Zito. Everything Selena Zito writes, you can get by being a subscriber at SelenaZito.com, SelenaZito.com. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. We'll be right back. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I am not wearing a Cheesehead or Green Bay Packer gear, though I'm obliged to whenever they arrive at my address, because the Browns lost to the Packers on Christmas Day, 24-22, with the help of the Zebras, and I don't think anybody in America disputes that. But I lost the bet, but Gallagher, Congressman Michael Gallagher, has not sent me any Green Bay Packers gear, so I am not wearing any this morning, but when he does, I will. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. I'll just give you a preview of some of the gear that I have ready and headed your way shortly. I just want your assurances that I'll get it back at some point.
I know you will, but I don't know about the jacket. There might be coffee stains and an orange scarf included. I've got my Browns gear behind. A cheese head in your hand. That's good.
But rest assured, Dwayne and I are coordinating the logistics. We had a few supply chain issues. I know this has been a big issue for America, but it'll get out there. If mail is still delivered in California, it'll get out there soon enough, Hugh.
I will wear it, but will you please admit, Congressman, that they missed the interference call at the end of the game?
At the end of the game, I don't remember any interference call. It tends to wash out both ways. I will say this.
It tends to wash up. That is the greatest. That's like Democrats saying we have a voting crisis. Are you Eric Swalwell? Did you dress up Eric Swalwell in Green Bay Packer gear? We have a voting crisis. It washes out. Those are equal statements.
I will say this, Hugh, and this is where we may agree. It is odd to me in 2021 with advances in technology why we are still so dependent on flawed humans to judge these football games. I tend to think we could automate a lot of this using sensor technology. And by the way, as we've talked about before, COVID policy is also messing with outcomes in the league right now.
Oh, so my God. And the Browns got – in fact, the saddest part about this, there are calls for Baker Mayfield's career to be over in Cleveland. I don't agree with that. I think he's QB1. He'll be fine when he's fixed. But that call and then performance on Monday night were enough to turn a very vocal part of the – Cleveland sports writing community against him, which is sad. I mean, Aaron Rodgers have a bad year in the fourth year of his QBing?
No, Aaron Rodgers has never had a bad year in any year that he's played football. He's always been great, sort of a demigod-like figure. By the way, I'm sure Dwayne did the Chiron, which says playoff-bound Packer fan. I appreciate that, but it should also be noted that the Packers have secured the number one seed and a first-round bye. So it's not just that we're playoff-bound.
I want them to get to the Super Bowl. I do. Because whoever comes out of the AFC will destroy the NFC. I think you know the NFC is a minor league. I think you know that. And I'm hoping that whoever, if the Browns on the COVID list could take at Lambeau Field the Packers to the last seconds and then be stolen by the referee, you know the Pack cannot keep up with half the AFC. You know that, right? Just extrapolate.
Well, memory serves, the NFC won the last Super Bowl, so not
your Brady from the AFC won the last Super Bowl. You can only bring in so many of our toasted vets to save your league. Okay, let's get to some serious stuff, Congressman. I got to ask you both about Ukraine and about China. Let's start with Ukraine. I was on Special Report, and I got a call from a senator, I'm not going to name who, yesterday, thanking me for just being blunt and saying, we ought to be doing sanctions now. We ought to be striking, disintermediating money. We ought to be shipping all sorts of supplies him. And instead, Joe Biden said he's negotiating. But that's appeasement. Agree or disagree?
Completely agree. To the extent they've talked about sanctions, they talked about imposing them after the fact, i.e. sort of deterrence by punishment. If Putin further invades, then we will impose sanctions. Well, by that point, of course, it will be too late. And I think if you give Putin that trade, he's more than willing to subject his own citizens and even his close associates to withering economic sanctions if it means he's able to achieve his objectives in Ukraine. And I think he calculates that he gets even more of a domestic benefit by doing so. And so I think we're in a very precarious position. And I think this administration is falling for this naive fantasy that Putin plays somehow by the same rules that the West does. I would commend to you a piece, I think, in last week's Wall Street Journal by Aaron McLean, where he talks about how we tend to have this bizarre mirror imaging where we think that Putin is going to be dissuaded by international condemnation or the fact that his invite to Davos is going to get rescinded. No, Putin does not care about that stuff. Putin cares about reasserting Russia's historical greatness. Putin cares about undermining NATO, which he views as very much a threat to his own country. And Putin cares very much about himself being viewed as a great figure and is willing to suffer a lot for the pursuit of those goals. So this administration has been completely ineffectual. Yet again, it's been caught flat-footed. And if you add into this Europe's ongoing energy crisis, I fear this is going to escalate dramatically throughout the month of January.
I also think that unlike the first invasion, we might be in for, and Britt Hume made this point to Brett Baer in the panel on Monday night, the Russians might be in for a bloody nose. The Finns fought back in 1939 and 40 in the Winter War and stopped Stalin cold. The Ukraine army is 4 years, 5 years, 6 years into this, right? 8 years into this. I think they will be readier than they were under President Obama's inactivity. What do you think, Congressman Gallagher?
I think that's fair. However, they still need more American assistance than they're getting right now. And if you look at the six ridiculous demands that Putin put out there a few weeks ago, all of which I sort of interpret as a pretext for war, one of which was this idea that we need to stop providing assistance to Ukraine. Well, even if President Biden were inclined to do that, and I think even this weak administration wouldn't do that, the United States Congress wouldn't allow that to happen. Putin knows that. So I think there's much more we can do to provide them certain weapon system, to provide them other forms of support, lethal and otherwise. We've had really remarkable logistical failures in that regard. The administration says they're sorting them out. And I do, however, think you're right that there is a lot the Ukrainians can do to defend themselves, to make this as painful as possible for Putin. However, given how creative the Russians have been in the past, you can imagine a scenario where even if they're unable to achieve all their objectives on the battlefield in an all-out invasion of Ukraine, they still could dramatically destabilize Kyiv. We could be looking at a coup in Kyiv. There are a lot of things he could do in order to slice up the country and create a new status quo on the ground that would still be bad for U.S. interests. And here I think we confront the crux of the issue. If this were just confined to Russia and Ukraine, I think we might be less concerned. I think we would still have interest. I think we'd still have a duty to stand up and help the Ukrainians. But I fear that just as we saw the failure in Afghanistan weaken our deterrent posture in Ukraine, I think a failure in Ukraine and a Russian success in Ukraine will weaken our deterrent posture in other places around the world, especially vis-a-vis Taiwan. And I just think it's a fantasy to think that other enemies of America around the world aren't looking at this, taking notes and thinking, hey, what can I get away with right now with a divided America and with a very weak Biden administration that just can't shoot straight?
Now, I do believe, like the NFL, scoring first matters. I would disintermediate assets of the oligarchs around Putin. I would take some of his funds. I would blink them out. I believe, I'm certain we have the capability of doing that. We know where those assets are and inflict some financial pain now. What do you think about that, Congressman? Then we have to move on to China in our 3 minutes later left to us.
I agree with that. We've tried over the last 5 years, really, to impose sanctions on the Russians for a variety of things. When it was discovered that they had a massive intrusion of some of our grid in America, we imposed sanctions. Obviously, we've done things in response to Colonial Pipeline. All of it's been well-intentioned, but I think it's fair to say it hasn't had the deterrent effect on Putin. There's much more we can do in terms of financial and economic warfare to really impose costs on Putin right now. And oh, by the way, I would add on to that the fact that right now the Biden administration should reverse their decision on Nord Stream 2. I don't see how threatening that after the fact makes any sense at all.
That was
a catastrophic mistake. It was a geopolitical gift to Putin, as well as the ongoing war against American energy production by this administration. All of it has been a gigantic blunder that we should reverse right now.
It's appeasement. 3 minutes. Let's talk about Xi shutting down Xi'an. There are horror stories in the Washington Post, the Financial Times this morning of life inside the city of Xi'an, including pregnant women unable to get into a emergency room, miscarrying their baby at the steps of the hospital. I do not believe anyone should buy a commercial at all because they're the genocide games. And the only reason they're able to have these games is because they've turned another city of 13 million into a labor camp.
I completely agree, Hugh. And the fact that the same American companies who may no longer think of themselves as American companies and may think of themselves as citizens of the world, or even in some cases as Chinese customers, that were lecturing us about how we need to boycott states like Georgia because they were passing voter reform laws, are the same ones that are bending over backwards to make a buck off the Genocide Olympics in Beijing. This is a moral abomination. I think we all have a duty to stand up against this. And I think the fact is, just merely from a COVID perspective, because we know that the CCP has not been transparent at all in terms of their COVID numbers, how can Olympic officials assure us that our athletes are going to be safe? What are the protocols for that? We're not going to gather any data on that. We still don't have any knowledge about how our military athletes who went to Wuhan in October, right as the initial stage of the outbreak was happening, whether or not they were infected. We have reports of athletes from other countries like France doing that. So even from a COVID perspective, I think there are concerns about hosting, allowing our athletes to go to Beijing.
Last question, Congressman Gallagher. Do you believe the Chinese communist would tell us if there was a new variant in China, even more dangerous than Omicron because it was more lethal and more transmissible? Would they be honest with us, or would they wait for it to go somewhere else in the world so they could blame somewhere else in the world for the killer variant?
They would not be honest. They were not honest about the initial outbreak. I think we have an overwhelming amount of circumstantial evidence that suggests that the most likely hypothesis is that this leaked from a lab in Wuhan. I don't necessarily think it was a bioengineered weapon. It could have been a natural weapon, a natural virus that was collected and stored at the lab. But we know for certain that they did everything possible to cover up the initial outbreak. They lied to the WHO. They corrupted the WHO. They did not allow our investigators into the country. And so I think the lesson we should derive from that is that the CCP will lie at all costs to avoid blame. This was a cover-up that makes Chernobyl look like a minor incident in comparison. And we still don't have answers, because the Biden administration is unwilling to press the Chinese Communist Party in order to get those answers.
And so sending the world,
no one wants answers.
Sending the world to Beijing, where we don't know how the virus is doing or if there are variants there, is insane as a public health matter. We do not have transparency there. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what variants they have. It's insane. And we are supporting forced labor and genocide at the same time.
It's almost as insane as continuing to support Baker Mayfield as QB1, but I agree. It's insane, Hugh. It's absolutely insane.
Congressman, I await your shipment. I will pay up, even though I should have on a zebra shirt when I do that. Thank you, Congressman Mike Gallagher. Follow him at Rep Gallagher online. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt on the West Coast with Westbury in the middle of, I think, Chicago's wasteland, both of weather and of education. Brian Westbury, good morning from First Trust Advisory Portfolio Group, the senior economist of First Trust Portfolio. Good morning, Brian. What's going on in Chicago with your teachers?
Yeah, well, yeah, first, it is snowing again this morning out here. Third, they don't want to work. They've been paid too long to sit at home. It's time for vouchers. Even the New York Times yesterday, finally,
yes,
after 18 months, Dave Leonhardt writes a piece where he says how crazy it is to sacrifice our kids for the elderly in our society. You know, remember, you're going to kill your grandma. We're still behaving like that. And we won't educate kids, and therefore, I think we ought to take it away from them. We won't, but we should.
Now, your governor, Pritzker, has the authority to disestablish the union, decertify it, because every governor's got emergency powers under the police power inherent in the governorship. Will anyone do anything? That's blackmail. It is absolute kidnapping of these children by refusing to go to work. The Chicago teachers need a criminal enterprise.
Yep. No, they won't. They will not do anything. Here's my worry. It's I kind of got a New Year's resolution, Hugh, that I wasn't going to bash people anymore this year. But what I'm about to say is it's like the Democrats with national policy right now. We're going to break up the filibuster because we won 50 seats and therefore we can change anything we want. And that breaks up the country. And they know it, but they don't care. And it seems like it's holding the whole country hostage. And then that happens on by the school boards. And then that happens by the school unions. And then that happens all the way down in politics on the Democratic side, where the most radical groups in each a group of politicians are the ones that control it. It's terrorism.
Well, I got to ask Brian, if the inner city, poor blacks, Latinos, ethnic groups in the inner city, poor whites as well, rainbow coalition of poor people, don't rise up against people who are keeping their kids out of school, because you cannot leave 6-year-olds at home. If you're doing so, it's child endangerment. All of a sudden they shut down and everybody who has to work to put food on the table is screwed by this, as are the kids, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and remember that in order for the teachers, for anybody to stay at home, to lock themselves down because of whatever they're fearful of, they are perfectly willing to have all the grocery store clerks, all the farmers, all the truckers, all the food shelf stockers, they're perfectly willing to have all of them work so that they can, live at home and Zoom. This is pathetic. And so it's more than just the kids. It's everything. And then on top of it, we have 10.5 million unfilled jobs in this country. And part of the reason is if you can't trust that your kids are going to go back to school when school starts, if you can't trust they're going to be at school all day, we could talk about how good the school is and all that stuff later, but if you can't trust they're going to be there, how can you take a job?
Brian, this is an illegal strike. All right, there isn't. Yes. This isn't a normal strike. This isn't the end of a contract. It's an illegal work stoppage. Does anyone raise the prospect of treating the teachers' union as a criminal enterprise? Because that's what it is. They are actually engaging in a conspiracy to violate public order. It's as bad as anything I've ever seen a teachers' union do.
Yeah. No. I mean, if Ronald Reagan were here, he'd be fired.
They'd be fired.
Yeah, they did the air traffic controllers.
And you call in the military, you call in the National Guard, you staff the schools with National Guardsmen, you get the kids to school, and then you call on good people everywhere who can teach to come in and give them an emergency credential. It is not impossible to do.
Nope. But we won't do it. The Democrat Party, and Chicago is controlled by the Democrat Party, is controlled by the teachers' unions, by its most radical elements, and they don't care about the kids. Vouchers. If we don't get school vouchers out of this, where the decisions and the choice are put in the hands of the parents and the families, there's something wrong with our country.
I think we will have a backpack bill in Ohio. But I also believe if the filibuster goes, the first thing that the Republicans ought to do in 2024, when they take office in 2025, is decertify every public union, including teachers unions, end their contracts, revoke their benefits, and say no more, no mas. You go to teaching as a profession, as a craft. Brian Westbury, chief economist for First Trust Portfolio, thank you. Follow him on Twitter at Westbury. There goes one New Year's resolution. I'm sure you guys out there who are listening have lost some as well. Dwayne came to work, so his New Year's resolution is broken. Don't go anywhere. Hour 3 of today's Hugh Hewitt Show ahead. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt, broadcasting live from the West Coast, or as I call it, the IEO Waste. I'm joined by Garrity, the indispensable of National Review. Of course, Jim Garrity is living through the horrific nightmare of a 7-inch snowfall in Northern Virginia. And somehow he's managed to find a phone. He was not obviously on the I-95 yesterday. And I do not make light of the fact that the Virginia Department of Transportation utterly failed people and put their lives in danger. But Jim, how did you make it through the storm?
Well, okay, I suppose I should do a mild defense of my neck of the woods and say, some places got up to a foot, and your listeners, Hugh, have probably heard me swearing and screaming about the Authenticity Woods public, Fairfax County public school system
yes.
that is metaphorical snowflakes about literal snowflakes. When the dew point gets too low, they will cancel school. The snow stopped falling around between, 1 and 2 on Monday. School is still canceled today.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We haven't had school. My kids haven't been in school since December 17th.
Yeah, Jeb, let's go right there. The Chicago strike is the thing that's got, I want to fire them all. And I'm thinking maybe I'll support the filibuster repeal because then when we get the House, Senate, and the presidency in 2025, we can outlaw and indeed should outlaw teachers' unions, strike their contracts as an exercise of the Interstate Commerce Clause, and tell them sue us under the contract clause if you want to, and disintermediate them from power. I've had it. They're just a criminal organization in Chicago.
You notice I'm not interrupting you, Hugh.
No.
Say, oh, that's crazy. Oh, we couldn't do that. Oh, that would be too far, No, so the only thing, seriously, I think this is what we're seeing here in my neck of the woods, and maybe all across the country, if you're seeing other allegedly weather-driven closures that do not seem justified by the weather. I think this is a backdoor Omicron school closure. And the only defense you can make for Fairfax County Public Schools is that, as I said, they have a long history of freaking out about any possibility of bad weather, including if the dew point gets too low. So, yeah, it's cold. There's probably still some ice in the roads here and there. Fairfax County is a big county. Not every, road gets plowed as quickly as in some other smaller jurisdictions. But as soon as there's this, the plan was to be open this week. And I also have no objections to the closing on Monday. It was a genuine snow. It was coming down during the morning rush hour. People probably saw the coverage of the absolute nightmare out there on I-95. And usually when we get a snow like this, okay, we're getting at least a day off, and minimum, we're getting a delayed opening the next day. So I wasn't all surprised by the closure Tuesday. The closure today, and no word on Thursday or Friday, makes me think in the back of their minds, if there's anything they can hang their hat on, if there's anything it's supposed to freeze overnight, we don't know if they'll have a chance to get the ice off the roads, we better close school. I think they're going to do this for as long as they can.
Yeah, Jim, let me ask you about the local political race. I don't know when the Fairfax School Board is up on the ballot, and I don't think high visibility Republicans should run. I think they ought to go find colonels, retired Army colonels, retired Marine Corps colonels, retired Air Force and Navy captains, colonels and captains, to run as non-political competent organizers of public services. Because this is nuts.
Yeah.
The Leonard column in the New York Times yesterday, when Dave Leonard is bemoaning what has happened to America's children, the story is broken through. When Dave Axelrod says Chicago teachers read Dave Leonard, the story. They are public enemy number one in the minds of millions of parents who don't care about politics.
Hugh, I will give you a little bit of the backstory. Fairfax County Public Schools likes to tout itself as the best school system in the country. It certainly ranks up there by all the usual measurements. It's one of the reasons we moved here. And I say this as a guy who went to public schools, likes public schools, and does not generally hate public schools, since apparently conservatives have this, we hate public schools reputation. Not the case at all. Generally, I've been pleased. I do, as I point out, that they have this long history of freaking out about the weather, but that was just baked in the cake. We're God knows what percentage of parents are lawyers, and they're terrified of getting sued if a school bus goes off the road or something like that. They did have schools closed for pretty much a year during COVID, and the grumbling of parents, they went back first 2 days a week for about a month and 4 days a week. But I was getting a sense from a lot of administrators after that, year, we got to do our best to keep schools open. I take them at their word, and they were open for the entirety throughout the fall Delta wave. We didn't get hit too badly by the Delta wave. And then the Omicron came along right around Thanksgiving. They kept schools open right up till December 17th like they were supposed to. And then, of course, right around Christmas is when Omicron really exploded. And I don't know about you, it feels like everybody you know is getting COVID, or somebody's, spouse or parent or kid or somebody's got it. And I take them at their word that they really wanted to come back 5 days a week and not have any interruptions or anything like that. Having said that, parents are pretty irked. And I think that this is a way, I think deep down, like the part of the problem is you've got one sluice of parents who are like myself, who are like, look, if you got to keep some kids, if your kid's sick, keep them home. Take whatever precautions are necessary. I'm more irked about the mask than my sons are. If everybody's comfortable with masks, fine. If that's what we have to do to keep schools open 5 days a week, I'm fine with that. I want to see them going back to doing field trips. I want to see them going back to giving extracurriculars, all the usual experiences. And by and large, local school district here has at least, I would say at least has made a good faith effort to try to get back to normal schooling as much as possible.
But well, that might be
now,
the case.
Now I'm starting to have doubts because now, oh, it's cold. We can't have school open. You know, this if we end up not having school tomorrow and Friday, then I think this is a way for them to you know give everybody an extra week to get through their Omicron infections without actually closing schools.
Jim, at what point do we wake up to the fact that for kids, this is flu? Now, 600 children have died from COVID. I know that. Because, and by the way, I know that 30,000 children have, for example, cystic fibrosis in the United States. And I just have to guess that COVID is a nightmare since it's a respiratory disease on top of a respiratory disease. So I know there are fragile people. But teachers could have been vaccinated and boosted. The children are not at risk in all but the tiniest portion. This is the flu for kids.
And, yeah, and one of the things that I'm really irked about is the sense of, okay, if you have somebody in your household who is immunocompromised, get it. You have to take this seriously in a way that the average person doesn't. Totally understand. I saw you'd liked and retweeted something I'd written earlier about the number of people who are getting cancer treatments.
Yes.
I think there's something like 7.8 million yes. Americans who are immunocompromised in one form or another. So if you've got somebody at home and you want your kid to be wearing a mask all the time and you're really concerned, I get it. That's fine. We can deal with these things on a case-by-case basis. But we don't shut down vital functions of society, like educating our kids, because of the smallest minority of people who are most vulnerable. Look for a solution that will work for those kids the most.
And by the way, that's what we've done in every other sector of the economy. We're, you know, but we don't have highway patrol not out on I-95 because they're afraid of spreading the vaccine. We don't have hospitals shuttered. They just people do not understand the consequences to children. That's the problem. Is the second order impacts are not as obvious as when, for example, China shuts down Xi'an's hospitals.
Yeah, and the other thing which is just worth noting is how much we slid into this. Right, March 12, 2020 was the last day the kids were in public school. There was people were saying, you know what, we're going to take off March 13th because we want to have a meeting to deal with it. And that's just, you know, March 12th. I think I want to say it was the day the NBA shut down. Trump did his big speech. Tom Hanks tested positive. That was that night where everybody's like, oh, wow, this is getting really serious. And then it was after that one day. The plan was just we're going to take one day just to figure out how we're going to handle this. And that turned into schools out for a week. And then it turned out to 2 weeks. And then a month. And then the entirety of the school year was canceled. And then when they came back, they still went stuck with virtual from September 2020 to March 2021. My older son went back almost on the one-year anniversary, and for my younger son, it was like a year and 2 weeks. And, you know, without getting, you know, too super-duper personal because I don't like talking about my kids in public venues, I could see it. In, you know, they got through it fine. We're, you know, knocking on wood, we're still very blessed. But I could tell my younger son, you know, staring at it. Like, I hate Zoom meetings in general. Imagine having your whole school day just staring at a screen.
Because you're not interacting with people. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science. And I, like you, I never talked about my kids when they were younger. All three went to public schools, had great public school experiences. I'm not anti-public schools. I am anti-unions. And they have to go.
Public schools open. Yeah. Why are we perceived as anti-public schools if we want the kids to get into the public school?
We have 1 minute. Doug Ducey yesterday took the first action against it. I think Youngkin will bring a hammer down on any district that closes. Do you agree?
I think he will. And I think he, it's one of those things. This is what got him elected.
He's got make his day. Yeah. That's what he said. Make my day, union.
And what's more, you know, look, the thing about Youngkin and the weird thing here in Virginia is we have, you know, one-term governors. You can't run for re-election. You're a lame duck the moment you take the oath of office. But I think he wants to build a legacy for himself. And he's got any aspirations for a Senate or presidency or anything else, you got to get generate some big results.
Yeah, somebody make his day, and it might be Fairfax County. Like Doug Ducey is doing in Arizona. He's just giving money to parents to go to private schools if their school districts close. Good on him. Jim Garrity, Garrity the Indispensable. Follow him at nationalreview.com. Follow him at Jim Garrity on Twitter. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's
dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.